Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Here we go again on a Monday. This is exciting, our little appointment in God's Word. As you know, if you have been with us, we're preparing for Resurrection Sunday. That's my preference. You may call this Easter Sunday. It is coming up on April 17th, and we are preparing by reading in the Gospel of John chapter 12. As we get started, let me reread for you John 12, verses 1 through 8. This event took place in the life of Christ just prior to his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. And here we learn how to love Jesus, our Savior from sin. John 12, beginning in verse 1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made Jesus a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When we left off on Friday, we had been talking about how great is the love Mary has for Jesus. By way of sharp contrast, Judas is her opposite. He has such disdain for Christ. As we think about contrasting Mary and Judas, here's a good way to remember the difference between the two. Mary was a true friend of Christ, but Judas was a true enemy. I'll repeat that. Mary was a true friend of Christ, but Judas was a true enemy of Christ. I want you to listen again to John 12, verse 3. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. There is the love act of one who is truly a friend of Jesus. But then hear again the words of Judas in the very next verses, verses 4 and 5. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" That is the voice of the true enemy of Christ. And Pastor A.W. Pink points out that this reminds us of Psalm 23 and verse 5. Psalm 23 and verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil." How insightful of Pastor Pink. This is what Mary does. She anoints the head of Christ with the oil of the perfume of pure nard, and she does so at the table in Simon's house in the presence of the enemy of Christ, Judas Iscariot. What a contrast. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil." Pink continues with other contrast to support my point. Mary, a true friend of Christ. Judas, a true enemy. Again, these contrasts were brought to my attention in the writing of A.W. Pink, but I want to lift them out of the Bible for you. And the first is this. Mary gave generously to Jesus what was worth at least 300 denarii, but Judas sold Christ to the chief priests for only 30 pieces of silver. We read that over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. This is Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to Judas. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Mary gave generously to Jesus, but Judas sold Christ to the chief priests. Second, Mary showed her love for Jesus in Simon, the ex-leper's house, whereas Judas was the son of a man named Simon. Third, Mary had a vial of perfume, whereas Judas had the money box. Let me read John chapter 12, verse 6. Judas had the money box. Fourth, Mary brought all the attention on Christ, whereas Judas attempted to turn everyone's attention away from Jesus and to the poor. Fifth, and here I will quote A.W. Pink, "At the very time Satan was goading on the heart of Judas to do the worst against Christ, the Holy Spirit mightily moved the heart of Mary to pour out her love for Jesus." And then sixth, quoting again, "Mary's devotion has given her a place in the hearts of all who have received the gospel. Judas, by his act of perfidy, went to his own place, the pit." As you will see, if you keep reading the scripture, Judas chose against Christ and therefore for eternal damnation. One other pastor theologian, Charles Spurgeon, used this helpful analogy to highlight the difference between Mary and Judas. He compared Judas to an artificial flower, but Mary to the real one. He said, quote, "Artificial flowers may be made so exactly like the real plants that you can scarcely detect them. But real love for Christ, real true, heartfelt, deep, where there is strong, all-absorbing love to Christ, the sweet perfume of divine grace will be," end quote. Indeed, it may appear from the outside looking in, or even to the exact people inside this story that evening, that both Mary and Judas were true followers of Christ. But the reality is that Judas is the fake. He's artificial. Whereas Mary is the genuine rose that flowers bright and beautiful as she pours out her sweet-smelling perfume all over Christ. And so herein are the sharp contrasts between Mary's friendship expressing itself in love for her Savior and Judas the enemy expressing himself in wanting to withdraw Mary's gift for the Savior. Mary was a true friend of Christ, but Judas a true enemy. And you can keep this in mind as we proceed. And as we proceed, we come now down into John chapter 12 to verse 7. There is one part of this verse, the second half, that I want to comment on. John 12, verse 7 reads, "Therefore Jesus said, 'Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial.'" Highlight, if you can, this part. "She may keep it for the day of my burial." What does Jesus mean by this? It seems to us a strange statement. And we should note that it is also said in both Matthew and Mark's accounts. This begs the question, did Mary know Jesus was soon going to die? The fact that had constantly escaped the attention of the other disciples, even though they had been told about it. The fact Jesus will die, did Mary get it? Probably not. I like how A.B. Bruce puts it in his first-rate book, The Training of the Twelve, which I will use more soon. He writes, quote, "She does not know that Jesus is about to die, but she acts as if she did. The instincts of love." I agree. Mary definitely had that instinct of love for Jesus, but whether she knew that the time of his death by crucifixion was near or not, by constantly sitting at Jesus' feet, as we have seen, by learning of him, by paying close attention to the details of his teaching, to his words about himself and of God, Mary had a much stronger intuitive understanding that now, not later, now was the time to pour out her love for Jesus. And what Jesus does with this statement is to draw our attention to her act, pouring out the perfume, as a way to make sense of his death on the cross. He interprets her act in light of his impending death. Remember, as they meet around this table, it is the start of the final week of Christ's human life. Jesus will be dead within only a matter of days. And when you come back tomorrow, I'm going to use the penetrating work of A.B. Bruce's The Training of the Twelve to show you what Jesus means by what he says, because I think Bruce understands this and articulate what he sees better than anyone else I've read. It's too good to pass up. But as we end today, I want to challenge you with a question. What is your love for Jesus like? Are you a fake flower? Or are you the genuine, the real flower to Christ? Do you have this instinct for love? If you would, give some critical thought to this. Maybe you will say, I am both. On good days, I express a sincere love for Jesus, but on bad days, it's like I hardly know him at all. Well, that's being honest, which is good. If you assess an inconsistency in your love for Christ, or you come to conclude that you actually do not have any real love for him, you go to church or you think of yourself as a Christian, but you are artificial, then I invite you to go to Jesus today and ask him for forgiveness and invite him to animate your soul with adoration for him. Do so, and then join us again tomorrow for much more as we gather together because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.